You are listening to the Rainmakers Power Hour. Join your hosts, Wendy Butler, Leanne Nguyen, and Macy Nelson, as they interview the most successful entrepreneurs from around the world who are sharing their proven strategies to help take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Rainmakers Podcast. We do this every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Some of you may be live streaming with us on YouTube, some of our other channels. That's fabulous. Welcome. But if you want to get in the conversation, you want to download the Chatter app for next week. Wendy, do you want to thank some of our sponsors before we kick this off? We got a really exciting guest tonight. I'm going to let you introduce him. However, I want to say a little thank you to our sponsors. Wendy, can you do that?
Thank you so much to our sponsors at Smarter Aircraft, the next generation in private aviation investments. You can check out their website, smarteraircraft.com, for more information on buying your private jets. We have William and Harry Golf. Elevate your game with luxury brand exotic golf shoes. Thank you guys for your support. We certainly appreciate you guys being with us every week. Credit, I know that you and Kevin have known each other for years. We talked about that earlier today. So I'm going to let you introduce Kevin to the show.
Welcome, Rainmakers. Every week on Tuesday on Chatter Live and on Twitter X, we are showcasing a lot of business entrepreneurs that are really making waves. One of them is here today with us, Kevin Anson. Let me give you a little background story about how I met Kevin. I wanted to meet Gary Vaynerchuk one year, and one of my clients, Josh, mentioned there's this event that's going on in Idaho, something having to do with bubble soccer, and then Gary's going to be there. And I'm like, yeah, I just got my name on Instagram, Credit Ninja, and I have no followers, so there's no way I could go to this thing. I keep bugging him every week until a week before the event. I asked him again, Josh, who do you know that has a plus one that couldn't go? And can I go? He goes, well, there might be a possibility. You just need to show up in Idaho and you might get in and you might not get in. This is all about access, access to people, access to knowledge, access to opportunities. So I just showed up. Next thing you know, Josh goes, there's this guy named Kevin. He's actually the videographer for Russell Brunson. And he has a plus one available. Would you like to go with him? We had dinner that night. And the next day, I was his plus one. I was able to meet Gary Vaynerchuk, and that started my journey into understanding how social media, how important it is. And Kevin was going around with the camera, videoing all the influencers. And I'm like, wow, I've never seen this before. It opened my eyes to building your content, building your name, building your brand, and being around those circles. From that point on, Kevin started to see me at more ClickFunnels events, more network events. We met again at Grant Cardone's event. That was my first time, and I met him there. And it's just building upon relationships. I'm just so excited to open this mic up to Kevin Anson so you can tell us your story of how you started in the business and now where you are in the video boss world and having your own business. And all the content and connections that you have made. I'm just so excited to hear about your journey. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I've been doing videos for over 20 years, probably 21 years. I started getting a little bit obsessed with the whole marketing side of things in 2016, 2017. I saw an ad online with Russell Brunson. He's selling his book. And I was just like, man, I need to learn this marketing aspect because I was a video guy for so long. I understood how to make really cool videos. But I didn't understand the psychology, what actually made them work. I knew how to shoot and edit and fly drones and all this cool stuff. But I would get messages from my clients months after I had delivered a project. And I would say, hey, how did that video turn out? And they're like, oh, the video is amazing. But meeting the intended goal, which is to make sales or get people to fill out the form on your website, it just bothered me so much that I couldn't figure out that marketing piece of it. So I got .com Secrets. Read that and immersed myself in the Russell Brunson world. And he puts a post on Facebook one night in his Facebook group for ClickFunnels. It was like 9 o'clock, just happened to check my phone. And he says, I'm looking for a video editor who wants to work on a project with us. It's going to be ongoing. It's pretty much going to be full time. Let me know if you're interested. Drop some links to your work in the comments. There's like 102 comments on that post. I dropped my link to my stuff in there. Within 10 minutes, he's private messaging me on Facebook saying, dude, I love your work. Let's figure out how we can work together. I got him on the phone the next day and we chatted about things. Apparently, it's really hard to get him on the phone. He does not talk to people on the phone. He avoids it at all costs. And so me being a nobody at the time, got him on the phone and chatted with him. He's like, oh, I just got done getting my haircut. I was like, oh, right on, man. It's like talking to a bro. He's just a cool guy. And we're like the same age too. Long story short, I went forward and made videos. We made like 100 episodes of his YouTube show. Did that for a year. I was really interested in video ads. I was always like, these YouTube videos are great and everything, but I want to know how to make video ads that actually make you guys money, Russell. So yeah, let me connect you with John Parks, who's the chief traffic officer at ClickFunnels, and you guys can start making videos. And we did that. And so I'd say probably like the first 20 videos that I did for them, I had no idea what I was doing. And then I started to pick up on psychological ingredients that needed to go inside the videos, and they started performing better. And you know, this is in 2017, 2018. And so I've been doing video ads, pretty much nothing but video ads for like 7 years or so, and gotten to surround myself, like Leanne was talking about, getting access to other people. I'm backstage at Funnel Hacking Live and Dean Graziosi is right there. Frank Kern is right there. Brendan Burchard and all these guys. I would just go up and I'm not shy. I would just introduce myself to them and talk to them and let them know I was the guy behind a lot of the videos that Russell was doing at the time. They're like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. I love your work. Let me get your information. Here's my email. Let's chat. I'm driving out to some hotel in Southern California to meet with Brendan Burchard. He gets in my car. I drive him around for that day. We went to a Kajabi event. Met the owners of Kajabi. It was all about this access. And the same thing with Grant Cardone. I was filming Russell when he did his 10X GrowthCon speech, and he made $3 million in 90 minutes on stage. I was one of the videographers recording that. I got access to the backstage, all access. I don't even know how much these people pay, but like they're dressed a lot nicer than I am at the time. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on back here, but these guys look pretty serious. Looks like, you know, some bunch of boss men, mafia looking dudes dressing in suits. I'm like, wow, there's some powerful people in here. And Grant Cardone's back there. And so I introduced myself and chat with him. And then I met Jared Gallant, who is his right-hand man. I still have Jared's phone number. We started working together and I made ads for 10X GrowthCon. It's been a really cool journey. It hasn't been something that came easy by any means. They always say, talk about finding your thing, your one thing, and sticking to it. A lot of people will jump all over the place. They're like, oh, I'm going to do real estate art. I'm going to open up this cool service company. And when you're too spread thin, you can't focus on the one thing you need to really become an expert in. Video ads was my thing. I chose that 7 or 8 years ago and haven't looked back. We've been able to work with some amazing clients. We just did a whole round of ads for mastermind.com, which is Tony Robbins and Dean Gruskin did their ads for the May event. They had like 1 million people show up on a Zoom call, made a bunch of ads for that. And it's been really cool. In the process, focused hard on understanding the human psychology aspect of it. But it's really important when you're watching a video online, people are in it for themselves, right? They don't care about who you are, what you've done to a certain degree. They just want to know, how's this thing going to solve my problem? Does it overcome certain objections that I have? When a person's watching a video, they're thinking the entire time, what's in it for me? What's the result? What's the outcome that I'm going to get? Does this solve my problem? Who are you? Do you have experience? Do you have credibility to be telling me this thing? And so there's a lot of like those unknown questions that like triggers in our minds that we have when we're watching a video. As soon as somebody starts talking about certain psychological components, the invisible wall we have starts to come down. By the time you watch a 1 or 2 minute ad, you're like, okay, cool. This looks like a good solution. If the messaging's not right, or they say something weird, or don't say enough, people are gone. You lost people. And that's why a lot of ads don't perform well, because you're not saying the right things in the ad. And I don't mean you have to have some really expensive video camera at all these video editors working for you. If you just pull out your phone and you get one of those teleprompter apps, if you say the right stuff with your smartphone and run it as an ad, you can do really well with it. And I've seen tons of people do that. Even Frank Kern and Dean Graziosi, those guys do that. They'll go in their backyard, they'll be having inspiration for an ad, they'll record it and they'll send it to their guys and they run it on Facebook and make tons of money. So hopefully that gives you kind of like—
I remember the time when we met at Dream 100. At that time, you were thinking about doing your own deal. We sat there. It was a very intimate group. and I was one of the VIPs there. You were too. We sat down and I asked you, what's your next move? You're like, I want to just branch out and do my own thing. I don't know what direction. Remember that thought about taking that chance? Can you come back to that point of how you transitioned from being a videographer into actually full-blown agency? That right after that, I started seeing your agency take off. You started hiring or collaborating with an Asian girl. I don't remember her name, but she was working with you on some projects. Where are you today in terms of your staffing, and how do you flow all that through? Because that's a lot of work.
I've actually been running my business since 2011. And so I did corporate videos for about 6 years and worked with Mercedes-Benz, Costco, Chase Bank, and Citrix, which was the old Zoom. All these really well-known brands that I was able to work with. And then 2017 came along and I started to get into video ads. The biggest thing that really turned for me was getting out there, getting in front of more people and building my network. We can all attest to that, right? Your network is your net worth, and it's super true. So just getting out there and going to these events. Every time I get a chance to go to an event or speak at an event, I meet all kinds of people. I don't know. And they're like super powerful people doing amazing things. We connect and big business comes out of it. But yeah, I think it was just the big turning point too, is just building, outsourcing a team to be able to handle a lot of the video editing, because you can't do it all yourself. You need help. It did a lot for the business, being able to outsource, finding people I could trust. And so now it's really fun. I teach people all my strategies. I have a 6-week certification program that I take people through, and they get a plaque and stuff. I teach them everything I know in a 6-week period. We work on real client projects. They get paid for the video ads that they make, and then we send them to the client. It's really fun. In that process, I'm building my team of video editors. When I have overflow work, I can send it to my students, which has been cool.
And Macy has a question.
So talking about editing, I am a real estate broker. Starting out, I was doing all my own videos, editing and ads. I would hire the videographers and then they would come back and I wouldn't be happy with it. So then, of course, matter of fact, my son said I'm too difficult to work with. So he's a videographer. But so getting into the technical part of things, if someone wants to do basic videos and do this themselves, and I know we're going to get into your course later, you said your phone, but sometimes I find that the phone doesn't give the quality of videos that I would like. Is there a camera that you would suggest for people to use that gives you quality videos better than, say, the iPhone? This is just a basic 101 question, but I have a lot of people asking me that, and I'm always looking for that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of cameras. I mean, I like Sony. I used to be a Canon guy. Now I'm Sony. A lot of the Sony Alpha cameras are really good, and they put out good quality. If you want to take it up a notch and get a really nice camera that looks all cinematic, you get a Blackmagic camera. They have the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema camera, and I think it's around like $2,000 or $3,000, which isn't that bad. It depends on who you're selling to. A lot of the ads we do are B2B. B2B, they don't mind being sold to, because we're entrepreneurs. When we see an ad online, we're receptive to it. We're like, we don't mind being sold to because we have a business. And we're always looking for solutions that can help us solve our problems. When an ad looks professional, it's shot well, it's lit well, all the stuff looks good and the editing's great, it's okay for us. We're like, okay, cool, this is a really good ad. Versus on the B2C side, most of the ads that work on the consumer side are shot on a smartphone and they look like they were meant for TikTok. They do a lot of car insurance ads, and a lot of those ads that they do that are crushing it, or somebody's out in their front yard and they're like, hey, check out my Mustang. I just got this car. You wouldn't believe how much money I'm paying for insurance for this thing. It's like $25 and it's shaky. Well, those ads crush it for them because they're selling to consumers. I can't say that every single ad for a consumer has to be shot on a smartphone and look like a TikTok video, but that's 9 times out of 10 the way that it looks. That's why you see a lot of ads for products online, into beauty and selling makeup. Hire these influencers to make them ads. And they shoot them in their bedroom and they put makeup on and it looks like it was shot by a smartphone. Those ads crushed. But I didn't get into B2C too much. I like to make ads that look cinematic. That's the style we make. It feels like you're taking somebody on a journey. Like in a 60-second ad, the music might change 5 times. You know, that's pretty, like, most people aren't used to seeing that. So it's just like this, you know, roller coaster. It's just constantly waking people up. It's like when you watch a movie trailer and they get you excited about watching the movie. it's designed that way. And for a reason, it's because like they want to get you pumped up. Like there's highs and then there's lows. There's emotional parts where they show someone died in the movie. Then it gets exciting and they show action and they bring it down again. It's just this wave of emotions going on. And that's how we make ads.
I love it. We have a lot of entrepreneurs on here that are in the B2B space. I'm one of them. I'm also B2G, which is business to government. This sounds amazing. And I have seen Wendy's videos that she has done. Amazing. That's never going to be me. I can run a business, but it's not something I can do. We just don't have the time to do it. I honestly want to hear more about your course. I don't think I'd take the course because I don't have time nor the talent. But my assistant, my project coordinator, some staff that I have, I would love to be able to sign them up for a course and say, here, guys, I need videos that do this, this, and this. Let's put them on the website. How do I get my staff involved in doing that?
Yeah, you can go to my website. I have one that talks about the psychological components.
Do we have the website, Pen?
Just type in my name, kevinanson.com. You might have to put www.kevinanson.com. There's a course on there. There's also another one that I came out with a year or so ago. And I go through the process of making those cinematic ads. That's more for like the video editor. If you go to kevinanson.com/movie-trailer-ads, that one's really good. I don't make a ton of money selling courses right now. I had thousands of people go through it, but it's not my big money maker. It's great when people buy it. You know, it's coffee money or whatever, and they're affordable and they're great. Mostly we make videos for clients and our agency on the coaching side and make better revenue there. The courses are fun. I've had a lot of people come through. Grant Cardone's entire video team went through my course. ClickFunnels went through it. Brendan Burchard's team went through it. Gym Launch, which was owned by Hormozzi, went through it. When I see these purchases come through and I see the email and it says like CardoneVentures.com, I'm like, holy crap, somebody just bought that. That's really cool. I launched it 4 years ago and I see every payment that comes through and I'm like, oh, right on, you know, gymlaunch.com. They just bought my course. That's cool.
Well, I love it.
That is really cool. I know everybody else has a ton of questions. I know specifically about, you know, a lot of us just don't have time or the creative talent. So how would we go about bringing you on board to do that for us?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with really sitting down and understanding your offer and your customer. Every business is different and everyone has a unique selling proposition that makes them different, that has to set you apart, right? If you're selling diets and you're trying to tell people that you can help them lose weight, they've heard that 1,000 times, but it's like, what makes your thing different than the next guy? So it's like, oh, we can help you lose weight and you can still eat all the junk food that you're eating now. That sounds different. Figuring out your USP is really important. To answer your question, it's a matter of sitting down and understanding your business, all aspects of it. You have to find that big trigger point for people. A lot of times they know about this particular solution, but they're skeptical of it. So you have to spend more time addressing objections they have. I did some ads recently for a company that helps people start an e-com business. And all you have to do is buy the products and then they manage the entire store for you. So a lot of skepticism with that. Is this a scam? Is it in the United States? Are they going to take my money? Do they have a track record for doing this? Have they made other people money? So we have to answer all that stuff in the ad. Depending on what your offer is and what you're trying to sell, you have to make sure that your ad is geared towards that. Does that make sense?
Then what would be the lead time from time of engagement to where you would be able to provide us with that level of quality of an ad?
Once we have footage, it's just a couple of weeks. The front end work, it could take a week. Answer these 12 questions. Six questions about your customer, six questions about your offer. And then we have that information and we can figure out what to say in the script. And then it's like, okay, we have our script. Here you go. Get on camera and say it. Or you could be interviewed. We could ask you a series of questions that are geared to get that information out of an interview style. And then once we have those videos of you speaking or whoever it is at your company, we take that and create tons of ads with it. We just did that with the e-com company. I had a guy go out to Tampa, Florida. I gave him like a list of, you know, 20 questions that they had to sit down and answer interview style. And now we can make 100 ads with that content.
Wow. That's amazing.
I have a quick question for you, Kevin. We have had entrepreneurs on our show talk about AI and the fact that sometimes we're watching things, for instance, a podcast, and it's not even the person. It's a computer-generated version of themselves. They ask the questions, what do you think about that? Are you even utilizing that in your business now? Or you're using real people and real cameras? Are you using AI? What kind of AI are you using with your business?
Yeah, the only thing that I use AI for is to come up with scripts and ideas and concepts. And as far as speaking, you know, HeyGen is a big company that does that, right? Where you can upload a bunch of video of yourself talking and then it spits out a real version of yourself. Not a big fan of that, because as soon as people get the slightest whiff of the fact that you're doing that, it just makes you look really bad. It's almost like you just lied to them and told them that you're a billionaire and you're not. In my opinion, when I notice if somebody's trying to sell something to me and they can't take the time to jump on camera and talk about their offer and they're using AI instead, it's a huge turnoff. And I think there's going to be a really big turn in the industry. I feel like eventually it's going to come out, like people are going to be really against the AI generated videos and we're going to seek authenticity again. I don't think it's going to be that long. Didn't YouTube just come out with a thing where they're demonetizing videos that were made with AI on YouTube? That's going to happen on July 15th. I'm not a fan of it. I will never use an AI video testimonial in one of our ads. It's just not cool. That's my opinion on it. If you're making a funny video, that's cool. But when you're trying to make people believe that you're a real person speaking to them, that's when it's kind of crosses the line.
That's so good to know, because us novices, that's exactly what we would use is AI. It's exactly what I would have to use. So that's really good to know.
I'm going to have a quick question before we hand it off to the audience. Kevin, what is your favorite video that you've ever done? Describe it. And what was the end result of it? Because I know you have so many videos that went viral, and some I was cracking up looking at the past ones. What is your favorite one to this day that you made your mark on?
I get really excited when an ad actually performs really well and it does what it's supposed to do. We did some ads for The Billionaire in January, and they got 1.2 million people into the thing that they were trying to get them into because of the ads that I created. And so it was like, holy crap. We spent a lot of time on that ad. There was four ads total. But the first ad that we put out, we wanted to really blow them away. And we did. And they were so excited. They're like, oh, can we take this and run it on national TV? We're like, oh, yeah, of course. So that was one that I really enjoyed. It's just a matter of them sending us 10 minutes of him talking. It's just raw footage of him talking about the offer. And then we whittle that down into a 1.5 minute video. These ingredients that I talk about in my course, I'm listening for those. I'm like, okay, when does he talk about objections and pain points and the results and the outcome and his authority and all these different things that you want to hear? So I'm looking for those things in the sound bites, and we condense all that stuff in to the 1 2 minute ad. And that's what ends up going out there. And it does really well. The ingredients, the psychological components, there's 12 of them. They've never steered me wrong once I came up with those. And I can't say I completely invented them. Like, it came from studying a lot of other marketers and figuring out what they're doing and coming up with that condensed list of ingredients that need to go in a video, but it's done really well.
Well, you know what I want to recognize you for, Kevin, is the fact that when you are signing an NDA with a client and you're really upholding it, I want to applaud you for that, because in my business, I help people with their finances, credit, and all this stuff. And they go through bad parts. I never mention to anyone who is my client because of that NDA. So you'll never hear from me that so-and-so is my client. Never happens. I appreciate that about you. Go ahead, Macy or Wendy.
No, I think I saw somebody with their hand up, but now I've lost them.
Rhett wants to say something. Go ahead, Rhett.
Kevin, I have a question, because Wendy spends a lot of time on her social media posts and it's very time consuming. What is the maximum results for the minimum amount of time? I've heard anywhere from 15 to 20 seconds to 30 seconds to 2 minutes. You just said 2 minutes. What's the ad that gets the best results that you've seen for your clients? We have a startup company and everybody's telling us it cannot be more than 15 to 20 seconds to get your information across. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that if you go into it thinking that you're going to make one ad and it's going to make you millions of dollars, that's the wrong way to look at it. When you make one ad, somebody's going to watch it and maybe they were with their kids or they're distracted and then they didn't get a chance to click on the CTA. Next time they see your ad, they're like, oh, I already saw this ad. I don't need to watch this again. You definitely want to have at least a handful of ads that you're putting out there. And some of them might be 15 to 20 seconds. And then other ones might be a minute and a half or 2 minutes long because they need more explaining. It does depend on the offer. Like we just asked for a guy, tacky investing, which is a confusing topic for anyone who doesn't know what that is or understand it. And so his ads need to be a little longer, like 2 to 3 minutes, because he explains how this works, how we find the deals and what happens. Those ads just need to be a little longer. We made ads for him and they ran for a year and a half, the same handful of ads. It just depends on how much explaining your offer needs. If it's something everyone's heard of, like landing page software, it's like, okay, well, we already know what that is. Just tell me what's different about your landing page software and stop talking. So the average ad that we do for our clients is 45 to 90 seconds most of the time. So that's where we're at.
For to have something that's self-explanatory about a retail product versus something technological, that would be very different for the time frame.
Did you say a physical product for retail versus a what? Sorry.
Right. So if you have a product that other people have that they're familiar with versus something that would have more intellectual, maybe a definition or something that they need more explanation from, that would be, because I've always heard 15 to 30 seconds. People up to 30 seconds lose their desire to keep watching unless they're really interested. If you want to get somebody interested in something that you have that everybody else has, what is that time frame? 2 minutes seems long to me, but 30 seconds seems fair. I'm just curious.
Yeah, if you spend enough time in the first 30 seconds explaining the exact outcome that somebody can get from your products, that'll go a lot further than if you don't. You have to know what the outcome is that the person really wants. Like it solves a big problem for them. It directly lays that out for them in the beginning. If it's for tax lien investing, we talk about showing how we bought this house for $3,000 and now it's worth $125,000. If we sold that house for even just 50% of the value, that would be $62,000. And so you could be possibly making off of a $3,000 investment. So we talk about that right in the beginning of the ad, and that's the outcome that people want to hear and see. Now they're like, cool, I'll stick around to hear what the rest that this guy has to say, because I want to know how he's doing this. Like, can he teach me how to do this? There's also the stages of awareness, because you have to know where your customer is in the stages of awareness. Like, are they completely unaware? Are they solution unaware? Are they solution aware? Are they product unaware, product aware? If you have some product that's never been seen before, then they're totally products unaware. So you have to take some time to talk about the outcome it can get for them in the beginning, and you explain how this product works in the ad. But if it's solution aware, like a landing page software, everyone knows about landing page softwares, right? You can skip the small talk and just get right to the point. Here's what makes our software different.
I like that, the awareness, because that makes total sense now. So if people are aware of what you have versus unaware, now that makes sense. So we'll talk to you after the program, because we have a product that's aware, but we want to make sure that people understand that differentiates us from the majority of all the other products out there.
Yep, that's a huge one. It has to differentiate. Otherwise, they just file you next to the other guy and they're like, yeah, whatever. This already does what this other solution does, so I don't need it. And then they're out.
Are you a golfer, Kevin?
I like golfing. I'm out in Greenville, South Carolina. I do like to golf every once in a while.
All right, well, you'll be wearing our product pretty soon. That's perfect. I'd like to hear that.
He is the William and Harry Golf that's our sponsor for this show. Paul, I see your hands up. Did you have a question for Kevin?
Hi, Kevin. I studied the Secrets trilogy from Russell Brunson. Love them. I can't speak highly enough about them. So you've got your formula when you're developing your ads, right? When you launch a campaign, how many sets do you use initially to lock in on what's going to start moving that needle?
Yeah, so we do 3 or 4 hook variations, which is the first 2 or 3 seconds of the ad. We might have one video ad that we're happy with. It's like, okay, this looks great. So now we'll take it and cut out the first couple seconds and put something different in there. Maybe it's a different soundbite from the person speaking or a different headline on the video. Now you basically have that one ad and you just turn it into 4 different ads. And Then we'll run different sizes on Facebook as well. Sometimes the cinematic ads do well as a 16:9 widescreen. Sometimes they do better as a 1x1 square or a 9x16 vertical. Typically, we're doing one video ad, turning into three different sizes and three or four different hooks. So that can become 12 assets from that one video ad. It's crazy because we did some ads for this huge debt relief company. And Mario Lopez was the spokesperson for that. We just kept changing out the first 2 seconds of the ad. We would try weird things. One of the ones that did really well was we used Google VO and generated a video of a credit card cutting through red jello. It was just the stupidest thing. And we put that right in front of the ad. And that Mario is talking on top of that happening because he's green screened. And that one just crushed it. Another one was a guy with handcuffs on sitting in front of a credit card that's leaning up against the wall and the credit card's on fire. Then Mario Lopez is in front talking in front of that. That's the thing people don't realize with ads. You run a video ad, it might work for a while and then it stops working. They just throw it away like it's old garbage. But if you put a different hook in the beginning, you can revive a dead ad and start getting it to come back to life. And so that's a huge mistake I see people make with ads for sure.
That's awesome. Once you're locked in, do you also work with the company to build out the landing pages and put that psychology and everything you learned about the ad performance into the landing page?
I have people that I can connect you with that do that. When we're making the ads, we need the answers to the 6 avatar questions and the 6 offer questions, and then we need a link to their landing page. Those are the most important things. We analyze the landing page. Whenever we get a project from Russell Brunson, he has an offer he's been running since September of last year. It's for sellingonline.com. When they had that landing page done, I was like, send that over to me. And so I'll have ChatGPT go through and analyze the whole website and understand all the psychology of it. And then also the branding of website, like whatever your landing page is, a purple and blue on there, like a greedy, put that into your videos. Make sure that the branding on the landing page matches branding on the ads. If you have an ad that has green on it, and then they go to a landing page that has purple and blue, psychologically, unconsciously in their mind, it triggers something and they're like, I don't like this landing page. And then they leave. But you have to create congruency between the ad and the landing page.
So depending on, obviously, Russell Brunson's got top designers that's going to create those landing pages, but these other companies, you kind of see what their landing pages and their assets are and then start developing the ads around that so that it has congruency.
We'll go as far as matching the fonts and the headline that go into the video ad so it's exactly the same.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, man. Good to meet you.
You too.
Great question, Paul. I did want to ask you about, I've been watching your YouTube videos. And
those are cool.
You talk about laws of human nature, law of reciprocity, and neuro-linguistic programming. Do you have people on your staff specialize in that kind of thing in psychology, or have you just figured out these things over time?
Yeah, I've figured it out over time, understanding the way people think when they're watching a video. Even in my spare time, when I'm watching videos online and I'm doom scrolling Instagram, I'm doing it with my marketing brain. I'm always like, oh, that was really cool. That caught my attention. I forward it to myself. I have another Instagram account where it's a dumpster fire of all these things I send myself. So I just figured it out over the years, just really started to analyze videos and video ads. I have a whole on my notes app on my iPhone. I have hundreds of ads. I go back to 2019 and it's just something that I'm obsessed over. I can just see it. When I watch an ad, I know if this thing isn't doing well, I can see it. It's usually the messaging and how it's getting presented and the timing.
I have a hot question for you. We've attended a lot of Russell Brunson's events, even Dream 100, where he went up and talked about the power of persuasion and the power to be able to do good or bad. Once we learn the secret, you and I know the secret of how we persuade people to do what we need to do. Do you ever come?
Thanks, Jerry.
Jerry, oh my God, Jared's here.
Launcher is here.
Yes.
This is the only room I've been on Chatter that I really felt good sending a rocket. What this guy Kevin's saying is absolutely amazing. It may seem simple when you talk about the psychology, all that stuff. And I'm just loving it. So I just wanted to say I appreciate what I'm hearing.
Thanks, Jared.
Launching.
Can I tell Kevin something really quick?
Yes.
Kevin, I got a buddy that's one of the developers at Kajabi. You know what Kajabi is, right?
I did some work with J. Crown and...
He's one of the ones that done a lot of the templates. He worked in the AI they got over there. So him and I launched this AI platform for GHL. You know what GHL is.
Yep.
I have a lot of conversations with him about what you just said, because I use that same technique on Clubhouse. I would tell everybody I met that was like somebody that was kind of hard to meet, I told them I use psychology to get next to them. I love everything you're saying. Just like what I did with you. I sent $20. I told you I followed you. So now you understand. It's psychology.
Absolutely. It's all psychology. That's how we're wired. We're never going to change. No matter what technology comes out, we're always going to be seeking the same things, like emotional connections and making decisions with logic, the way it's always going to be.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I love it. I love the rockets. That's the best interruption.
I said it was an interruption pattern interruption, wasn't it?
You see, we did it for
got
you.
Got our attention quickly.
In terms of taking on clients, were there ever a time where a client came and it just is not your values, or you're like, I'm not going to do it because I don't have the right feeling about what they're trying to do in terms of a product or service that is not ethical? Where do you draw the line? There are times when I have clients that come to me referred through an attorney and then finding out that they are a Unabomber and I can't be involved. Is there any time where you're like, this is not going to be a client that I can stand behind? It's not about the money.
Yeah, there's plenty of time. There's a guy that wanted me to make some videos for hemp or something. And I was not into making videos for cigarettes or drugs. I was just like, no, I'm good. It just doesn't make sense. But there's also times when you work with clients and you can tell that you're not going to jive. We've all had that experience. You just know you're not on the same wavelength. So it's better to just kind of like, you know, slowly remove yourself from them, you know, stop responding their emails or whatever it has to be. But yeah, it does make a difference when you work with clients that you're excited about and how they're impacting other people's lives. That gets me really excited. That's why I was so excited to work with Russell. Anytime he messages me and says, we got this thing going on, can you help us? I jump on it. I love working on his stuff because he truly is like, the guy doesn't need any more money, but he just keeps making things and teaching things to people because he loves the impact that he has. His legacy is huge.
What is this that's passionate about you to give back and some sort of charitable trust or whatever you do that makes you float your boat?
Is that for me?
I'm curious about you because you're successful now. What is your passion? What is your charity of your choice? Or where do you try to direct some of your money to now that makes you happy?
For me, it's just about teaching people my knowledge. I heard a quote from Dean Graziosi a while back. If you go to your deathbed and take all your knowledge with you, you did the world a great disservice. He thinks of that as a big mistake. Some people might disagree, but I wholeheartedly agree. That's why I teach stuff when I can to other people about how to, you know, how to do what I do, because I want to transfer that knowledge to others and help them make more money and support their family. So that's my charity, if you will. And I don't make a lot of money on those courses. I just made them because it was something that I wanted to teach and share with the world. And also it helped me in my movement too. If I bring in another editor who's going to work with me, I'm like, okay, watch this course. It's already made. What lights me up teaching people and then seeing the results they get. They get more clients, understand video better and help their clients and their movement. It's just continuous pay it forward movement. It's really cool.
Yeah, especially your videos have a lot of information. Like I said, I've been stalking you since Credit told me she was bringing you on here, and I've learned so much from them. So let's talk about, I know that we're running out of time here, but you talked about pattern interruption, hook, education, and a call to action. Are those still your main steps in your video, or do you have some more to add since those have kind of been older? Is that what we need to be doing?
Pretty much. I have a whole set of ingredients that I am always looking at. Every video we do doesn't have all 12 ad components in it, but most of the time it has some sort of pattern interrupts, right? Where it's like you're getting people's attention. For us as editors, we put a little glitch on the screen so it looks like the video is glitching. The text on the screen in the very beginning of the ad, it's a hook, but it could also be considered the pattern interrupt because it's something jarring or says like diets are dead. So then people are like, wait, what is this about? Other pattern interrupts that people use, I have this fire wallet, and Leanne's seen it, where it catches on fire, gets people's attention at the beginning of the video. I mean, you could wave at the camera. You could get crazy outfits, props, and wigs to start out your video, making sure that your prop is matching what you're talking about. Like, you might have a for sale sign that you're flipping if you're in real estate. So pattern interrupts. These two are interchangeable in the beginning, but it could be a hook or it could be identify. Identifying the person is really important, because otherwise they don't know that you're speaking to them. If I say, hey, are you a real estate investor? And the person watching is not a real estate investor, then that's great. They can leave and go somewhere else. It tells Facebook and Instagram what kind of people you're targeting, because it also does keyword searches inside of the narrative that you're saying in your ads. Meta picks up on that with AI, and so it's filing that as a keyword. It's like, real estate investors. Cool. We're going to go find more real estate investors and show them your videos. So identifying is really important. And then you got your hook. There's a myriad of different hooks that you can write. You know, there's question hooks, polarization hooks, and making a sharp statement. There's all kinds of different ones, but it's usually just something that's evokes their curiosity enough to where they're like, okay, he just created an itch for me and now I have to get a scratch. You want to know how to make 100 videos in the next 30 days. Oh, okay, cool. I might want to listen to this, right? You've all seen them. We watch Instagram videos. There's always a hook in the beginning. And people have done a lot of work, research, and trial and error to make sure that their hooks get the best results. There's lots of influencers who will put out a 1-minute video. They'll post it, and if it doesn't meet their intended likes or shares in that 30-minute window, they'll delete it and put a new hook on and re-upload it. So the hook is really important. And, you know, just like shotgunning a few more, like, you got to talk about people's pains and desires, whatever it is that's keeping you up at night, making sure that you address that. Because it's identifying the person in the ad. Like, when you talk about back pain, you're also identifying the person and saying, hey, I can help you with that. Talking about the result or promise. We talked about that earlier, where it's like the first 30 seconds of the video, you want to make sure that you talk about the result or the outcome that you're going to be able to get for people through your product or service. Mentioning that is important. Talking about how your product is different from everyone else in the marketplace. Without that, people file you next to all the other guys who are trying to sell them that thing. And then there's value perception. You could go out and watch 1,000 YouTube videos and waste tens of thousands of dollars on video ads.
But number 9 is objection.
Value perception.
Every time you buy things like online,
you're
looking for a computer chair from your office. You're like, does this thing comfortable?
You're
looking for a computer chair from your office, right?
So does the video ads
work in the contrast, right?
Number 9 is
objection.
Ripping
in a 6 month,
pretty much
buy the
ETA.
Uncomfortable.
Sometimes it kind of gets wonky and
so you have to hit it in the ass and
that's allowed,
but it usually works pretty good.
But yeah, I mean, AI, anyway,
the AI conversation is
starting an hour.
Okay, one last question. You started video speakers on stage, Grant Cardone, the Russell Brunson, Gary Vee. I can go on and on and on. Then you started speaking on stage. Yeah. How was that transition, and when did that happen, and how did you feel when you are now on stage and other people are videoing you, and was that scary? How was that?
I've only spoken on stage 3 times. I was speaking at Anik Singhal's event in September, I think, so that'll be my 4th time. So I'm not like some world-renowned speaker or anything like that. I went from just a guy who sits behind the computer and edits videos to, like, I just follow that mantra of, if you're not uncomfortable, you're not growing. When Russell asked me to speak on stage, which was a huge accomplishment in the first place, I was like, yeah, absolutely, I'll do it. Let's go. I was scared for 6 months. My heart was beating out of my chest because I had to speak in front of 5,000 people. I was like, I'm doing this. I want to overcome this. And now all these other opportunities keep coming up because of it. I just spoke at an AI summit a couple of weeks ago. I got voted best speaker out of the whole 3-day, which was cool. I'm just a video guy. I'm not an influencer. I just know my stuff really well. I took a course by Ben Jiang called Stage Academy. He gets paid a lot to speak at big corporate events, like Microsoft talks about how to speak on stage and presence. I watched that whole thing before I spoke at Funnel Hacking Live, like cover to cover, and learned to
start. Did you say Vin, V-I-N-H? He's Vietnamese. He's my brother.
He's got like 3 million followers on Instagram or something. And he's big on YouTube also. He's really good. He's great.
It helps that he has an Australian accent or something.
Yes.
It helps to have an accent. Wendy, you got an advantage there.
It doesn't matter, okay?
But guys, let's wrap this up. Evan, thank you so much for being here on Rainmaker Power Hour. We really appreciate it. We learned so much. And this, I mean, we're so curious and really excited about learning more. Guys, tap in with Kevin. Do the heart, you know.
Gestures.
Hey,
since I made the promise in the beginning, I wanted to give you guys something that can help you with your script writing and to help you come up with new ideas and concepts. Go to adscripts.kevinanson.com, like a video ad script. Just adscripts.kevinanson.com. And that'll take you to my custom GPT. Go through the prompts and answer the questions about your avatar and your offer. You can start spitting out insane scripts. I had this guy message me a couple months ago, and I gave him free access. He messages me out of the blue on Facebook Messenger. He sends me a voice note. I don't even think you know who I am, but I use your GPT for everything we do in our agency. It's now one of our standard operating procedures. We've used it for rock stars, celebrities, one guy who was a coach to the Queen of England, one of the biggest real estate companies in the US. All these people he was naming off, I was like, holy crap, this guy uses my GPT in his processes. And so, yeah, it's amazing. You guys should definitely check it out.
Thank you for that. Yeah, but we wanted to also say thank you for everyone for coming into the room. Today was extremely interesting because we had to deal with some upgrades to the app. Big things are happening here, but we appreciate everyone's patience and tenacity. Wendy, you want to tie it up with your ending and then...
Craig, what's that website again? Kevin, what?
Go to... I think I changed it. adscripts.kevinanson.com. Add and then scripts.kevinanson.com.
Okay, thank you.
Let me know if it works. If somebody could try it while we're still here.
No.
It's working.
Screenshot this room and then tag everyone on here and Kevin Anson, and he will repost it in his stories, because we want to get this message out that we are doing rooms focused on expanding your business and all the connections. So,
Kevin, can everybody keep your eyes open? I'm doing a screenshot. One more. Thank you. Sorry, we have to get our screenshot in. Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate you taking the time. And of course, thank you for the patience you had during the beginning with the app update. Thanks to our audience that came in today. Thank you to our sponsors at Smarter Aircraft, Private Aviation Investments, and William & Harry luxury brand golf shoes. Thank you for coming today. You can always see the replay if you didn't catch all of it on our YouTube channel and on Spotify. You guys have a good night.
Thanks.
Bye.